We are recording on this week's shows, Andy, because we have two shows, but this little intro is only going to be for this part, part one of episode 95. We are delivering a 1-2 punch of content. There is just so much news to report on that we had to record an extra show, but you never saw that one coming. Speaking of things you never saw coming, Joker finally has joined the battle, and he is glorious. He is awesome. Really good. The Nintendo Switch, oh, I snapped right at that time, gets a firmware update as well as a potential miniature makeover. Konami blesses us with the Castlevania Collection deets, and it doesn't suck, Andy. Wonderful news. And finally, the hype zone isn't dicking around. This is Nintendo Dual Screens Episode 95, Part 1. Everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 95 for the week of April 22nd, Double Deuces 2019. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my co-partner, my I guess you would be a partner, not a co-partner, partner in crime. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
We're doing this twice this week.
Oh, we're doing God. It twice in 24 hours.
This is just nuts.
This is amazing. So yeah, I said it at the top of the show here in the little cold open, but we're doing two shows back to back. You're getting this one on its regularly scheduled time at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. And then Monday night, we are actually recording with our guest. That was unfortunately the only time she was available. And we wanted to make sure that we get every single week with a Mortal Kombat guest leading up to the launch and then the week after launch. So you're still going to get that as Mortal Kombat comes out later on this week, and that is going to come out Monday evening, so you'll have two shows to listen to. So, lucky you. Andy, they're so lucky, aren't they?
I feel so blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Hello, I want to say hello to all of our new listeners, because I did have quite a few people from various social circles on social media say, hey, I checked out your show with Master Piscina, or I saw you were doing Mortal Kombat stuff, or didn't know about it. And I had posted in a few groups today because I finally remembered Submission Sundays. And a couple of people said they were definitely going to check it out, that it sounds really cool. Shout out to Joe of Game Stuff, because he shouted us out on there as well, gave us a really good high recommendation, said we are his favorite Nintendo podcast. So thank you so much. For those of you who are new to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, we are a show where Andy and I go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about, and we have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. And usually we do the show with a guest from the independent gaming scene, whether it be a designer, a programmer, a developer, a studio head, or a publisher, or whatever it may be. And in a lot of cases, especially this month, performers and actors that are in these games, or even in AAA games, as you'll soon see and find out. Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, which includes iHeartRadio and Spotify. So check us out there if you haven't already. If you want to support us, if you like what you hear and you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Alex Gonzalez and Gavin McCrinn. Gentlemen, we cannot continue to grow without your support. It means the absolute world to us that you support us each and every month. Thank you so, so much. And remember, you could help the show grow for as little as $1, which gets you access to our super secret VIP Discord channel, and also gets you a bonus episode every single month where you, the Patreon listeners, get to decide what the topic is that we discuss. Now, before we get into the lead story and the rest of the Nintendo news report, Andy, what should I be playing this week? I know it's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks for Nintendo Switch, and it's about to get a little crazier. So what should we be playing?
I have two games to recommend for this week, Steven. The first one, and they both on the same day dropped.
Okay.
Mind you. So it's packed. Packed month for a Switch. Just a side note there. A lot of great games this month, but two highlights. The first is Katana Zero came out, and it's kicking my ass, and I'm loving it.
I've heard very good things about it.
Yes. I mean, it's got sprites, 2D platformer with time-bending mechanics. What's not to love?
Yeah. I mean, you spoke about it in our PAX coverage. You played a little bit of it there. I witnessed you getting your ass kicked single hand or with my own eyes.
Yeah, firsthand. And also the developer didn't want to shake my hand at the
well, at the you're a gross person.
I am a hideous mouth breather, and I smell like old gym socks. Yeah,
it's very true.
First hand account. And the other game I would recommend is Hell is Other Demons.
Yeah, buddy.
On the website. And we were going to have the developer on the show this week, but, you know, it was kind of like Easter.
Yeah,
so
that's a problem.
That happened, and he's also based in Sweden. So a huge time difference. It was weird because we had agreed upon recording in May.
Yes.
And the publisher was like, well, the game is like quite kind of out right now, so if you can just bump that up a little bit for promotion reasons. And we were both like, yeah, it's just, it's not going to work. For either one of us today. But they're fine with it. And but the game itself is a adorable bullet hell. You play a small little demon who kills other demons. And you get, like, upgrades, like guns and swords and scythes and boomerangs and laser beams and rocket launchers.
And there's also classes of demon that you could pick. Like
right,
each,
which you unlock as you go along.
Each character has their own pluses and minuses, as it were.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. When I played at PAX, I really, really dug it. I played this weekend, and it's not on Switch, but I think it's going to be.
Most likely will be at some point.
They had the alpha of Secret Neighbor.
Oh, that's not coming on Switch.
Now, you say that, Andy.
I don't think so.
You say that. However, in the alpha, in the game, on one of the desks is a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, are they hinting at something there?
I don't know, but it's the blue and red Nintendo Switch just sitting there on a counter. I was like, huh, was that a Switch? And I looked and I said, yeah, that was a Nintendo Switch just sitting there. So I played that this weekend. We got a bunch of codes to invite people to play with us. So I got the same email you got, but I got it later. So now there's even more codes in the dock.
Like 12 codes to give away.
So we have 1, 5, we have 9 more codes to give away.
Lovely.
So we could definitely do that. Listeners, if you want to play with me, trying to get Andy on there as well. He couldn't hang out this weekend, but maybe we do that on Tuesday.
Andy. Before April 30th.
Yes, April 30th is when the alpha closes. So these are all alpha codes. Now, I will say, I mean, I know you shouldn't judge an alpha, but aside from some hitches as far as like some music would the killer music, like when the killer is chasing you, got stuck playing, and I had to physically close the game out and restart it in order for it to stop playing. There was like that kind of stuff. But then there was just some, I have a pretty good rig here and that's not really that demanding, but I had to lower it to low graphic settings just to kind of get it to stop being so hitchy. So there's definitely some like optimization stuff that they're going to need to do down the line. But the core gameplay is there. The communication is there. The server stability is there. I never got kicked out of a match. I wound up playing with a group and we just had so much fun playing with each other that we all stuck together. Maltese played with us. He had a blast playing. It was a great time. And then our boy Snowbike Mike raided us with like 25 people. That was really cool. So yeah, I had a blast playing it. So if you do want to come and play with us, perhaps that's something we could do on Tuesday. I don't know if you had something on the dock there, Andy, but maybe.
No, we can definitely play. And just for our listeners, though, what the game is about.
Yeah, so Secret Neighbor.
It's like Dead by Daylight, but with kids.
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially. It's that so Secret Neighbor is made by the Hello Neighbor people. It's this the same character, the neighbor, and there it's six players, and one of the six players is secretly the neighbor, and he's disguised as one of the children, and you essentially run around with the kids, and then you could transform into the neighbor, and you could choke them out, choke them to death, and all the kids have their own. You don't really choke them. It's, I mean, it's implied that you're choking them, because when you kill them, like little missing posters fly around. Anyway,
that's a neat little touch. Yeah, I like that.
It's really cool. But your goal as the children is to find the keys to the basement door. They're scattered all around. It's procedurally generated, so some doors become brick walls that, you know, you just can't go in. So the map kind of changes all the time. It was really cool. I had a lot of fun, and I think it's something that run on the Switch.
Yeah, I like how the communication is location based. Like, mm-hmm. if you're close to a friend, you can talk, but if you're far away, you can't talk to one another.
Right. Now, here's the thing. There is a little bit of a screwy thing. So there's a power that the neighbor has. It's the mask. And you could copy one of the other kids, but not only do you copy the look of the kid, you copy their username.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I played it at PAX. I'm not.
Well, we have listeners, possibly in the thousands, and they don't know. So,
possibly in the thousands.
So you copy their username. So there's two of the same character running around, but there's a fatal flaw here. If they know your voice, because they'll say, "Hey, are you the real one?" And if I don't respond because I don't want it to hear my name, they're going to know I'm the killer and they're going to try and beat the shit out of me or run away. So there's kind of like that little meta game going on as well. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast. So,
or you can just put your mask up and choke them out in that second.
Maltese got me, that bastard, once. Because see, we were playing. I had him on Discord so that the listeners could hear him as well, or the viewers on Twitch, and the little bastard was the killer, and he's like, "Oh, okay, we gotta find the key," and he's opening drawers and closing them, so I think he's like looking for keys. So I'm like, "Hey man, did you find any keys?" And he just turns around and strangles me to death. He's dead to me, Maltese. You're dead to me.
Classic.
No, it was great. Classic it was move. A lot of fun. All right, so let's move on. Let's see what's coming on this week. We got, we have a big one coming on this week, right?
Is it big one coming out tomorrow?
Ooh, baby, tomorrow
coming. And that's all that matters. Goodbye.
Yeah. So we have Roblox coming out. Ding Dong XL. Great, great, great mobile game. Coming to Switch for 99 cents.
That belongs in the hype zone. Ding Dong XL.
It's an awesome game. Trust me. Trust me on this, Andy. It's an awesome, awesome game.
It's not a game about giant. I'm going to pass.
No, it's not. It's Ding Dong because that's the sound it makes. It goes ding, dong, ding while you're going back and forth. And it's an arcade game where you're moving this ball from north to south, essentially avoiding obstacles as you're going across, and you're getting like high scores and stuff. It's really good. Mortal Kombat 11, the big saucer, is coming out on the 23rd. Beyond Enemy Lines Covert Operations is coming out also. So you did it. Now, here's a big one. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is coming out on the same day as Mortal Kombat. And for 30 bucks, yeah, budget title.
Uh-huh.
You know, quote-unquote budget title. Some people were real pissed off at the price of Final Fantasy 12, which was finally announced, the price of it.
Oh, now, yeah.
I mean, that's a little further down. That's going to be on the following week's list, but... $50? What were you thinking? Oh my god.
I don't know, dude.
SteamWorld Quest is coming out on the 24th. That's a good one. I really want to get that game.
That's a good series.
Yeah.
The SteamWorld games are really good.
Yeah. SteamWorld Quest Hand of Gilgamesh is coming out. Gilgamesh, I'm sorry. You're right. Agalos. That looks really cool, actually. Agalos. You know anything about that?
No idea, but it looks like an indie game. I saw one.
Yeah, it's got sprites.
I know.
Oh, this looks
big
really
old
good.
Dragon guy. Right.
It's the perfect combination of retro style and modern day game design. That's the key. That's the line there. It's an action RPG design. That looks like it was plucked straight out of the 16-bit era. Non-linear Japanese style adventure. Okay, whatever. Deponia is coming out. That looks funny. I think we saw videos of that in an indies showcase or something. Theater Tales, The Lost King's Lullaby. Those are two different games. Sorry, I'm just going through them. Death Coming. That looks
I'm playing that game right now.
That looks really, really good.
I got a code for that game. Expect to review pretty soon on our website, dualscreens.com.
Hell yeah.
I can't give any full thoughts, but I can describe it. It is essentially Final Destination, the video game.
Yeah. You have to figure out ways to kill all the people, right? With accidental things.
Accidental. Yeah, like right. it's
Moro Chronicle Hyper. Your guess is as good as mine. It's got them Japanese anime girls on the cover. We get three of those a week.
And I have three. Yeah.
I have to put my birthday in order to look at it, so there's probably boobies. Let's see.
There is an indie game at the end of the week.
Let's see what we got here. Okay. Yeah. Chest guard pointing directly to her boobie. Okay, good. Desire. Okay, there's a desire meter. Oh, God. Yeah. Yep.
I got to stream all these outrageous games.
You have to recruit monster girls. So it's a slavery simulator. Sex slave simulator. Okay. Typewriter is coming. $3. That's a pretty cool one. Vandals. Homo Machina.
Yeah, baby. It looks like a blowjob tutorial.
You're not wrong.
Why is there a mouth open and there's a thing that's happening inside the mouth?
You're not wrong. Picross S3.
Ooh,
I love this. Another S2. Joe Jump Impossible Quest.
It looks like Cartman grew a beard.
Citus A. Citus A. Now, this is for pre-purchase, and it's coming out on Thursday.
It's $50.
$50. I want to look at this game.
What is this?
I don't know.
The art looks really good, but
wait a minute. Is this? That's always, yeah, this is like a rhythm game. This is weird.
Does it look good though? I would not be charging $50 for this.
Well, it uses Mii's, so you know what that means. They got to pay for that shit.
This is God. This is not gonna sell one bit.
Ugly Dolls, An Imperfect Adventure for $40.
Things that also won't sell one bit.
There are children out there in the world. Box Boy plus Box Girl.
Oh, that was the Nindy sensation from the last showcase.
Yes, it was a sensation. Mm-hmm. And then a game that I do actually have codes for, Super Blood Hockey. That's coming out on the 26th. Dig Dog. Get it? You got to be a good boy on that one. Hotel Dracula, Shalnor Legends, Sacred Lands. That looks cool, too. Looks like a Zelda ripoff.
That is exactly what it looks like.
Zeroptian.
It is invasion. Exactly a Zelda ripoff. Oh, my God. Even the assets.
Yeah. I know that's Mario. Shut up. Nobody asked you. And Goat Punks. Goat Punks rounds out the week.
Game of the week.
Actually, there's the 28th also. So I guess Ultra Wings Flat is coming out.
This Shalnor Legends thing. Yeah. Oh my God. The description is just like, it's Zelda. You're playing as Zelda because you're a young girl. Going to the sacred lands.
What if Zelda was a girl? The game.
Oh shit. That's a great question.
That's what they should do. Okay.
Great question.
It's time to get into the lead story. Thank you for listening to this nonsense for as long as you have so far. We're like 20 minutes into the show, we're getting into the lead story. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate version 3.0 is here. And with it comes the first official Fighter Pack Fighter Joker. He's here. This one's coming from IGN.com. Persona 5's Joker is officially joining the Smash Bros. Roster this week, and you won't have to wait long to play him, because guess what? He's already out as you're listening to this. It's April 17th. What else we got? So Joker has three. It has one stage. It's the Memento stage. But depending on the music you're listening to, the stage changes color based on the, it's either Persona 3, 4, or 5 music. And then it changes the colors for that. His final smash is the all out attack, which is awesome. Of course, from Persona 5, which I wouldn't know that, but whatever. But the big thing, And the thing, the gift that just keeps on giving, Andy, this also gave us our stage builder mode. Boy, did it not take a long time for that to just fall off the fucking rails.
We need to save that, though.
I know. It is, wow. I mean, there are some...
We can allude to it.
We are, I mean, I don't mean to be cocky here, but I thought my design skills were on par, but...
Listen, don't be a dick. Let's save that for later.
I know. I mean... There are some stages here that take risks, and I just don't have the balls to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, yeah. Flaccid penises. Anyway,
it was a long and hard wait.
It was
for Joker.
It was. It was a long and hard wait for Joker. Yeah. And if you didn't get the fighter pass, then you're gonna feel like you got the shaft because he's $6. You know.
Not $6. That's a bad. I think it was a nice meaty update.
Oh, no, it was definitely, I mean, that Joker and his stages were the only thing you really have to pay for. That and some costumes, some Mii Fighter costumes. But the stage builder and the video editor mode are both free with this 3.0 update, which is the real bread and butter, if you ask me. I mean, Joker, fine, it's a new fighter, it's great. He's really good, like, he's a lot of fun to use. But... The real story here, and the reason why it's the lead story, is because A, it's Smash Brothers, and everybody loves Smash Brothers. And B, these are two really, really huge additions to this game, which was already jam-packed full of features and amazing content. This game has just gotten better. Like, easily has gotten better. Like, this is the true meaning of adding a game and making it better post-launch. And what it has been, it's near just... Under six, what are we, 4 months, 5 months? Almost 5 months in.
So December, yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty big. Mm-hmm. Did you mess around with any of the new modes?
Well, I did want to say one thing about the Joker before you jump to the modes. That I experienced that there's a freezing issue happening that I've been reading about.
Okay.
And it happened to me earlier today. I was playing some Joker for the first time because I wanted to check out his all-out attack for his final smash. Because even though I knew what it was, having played the game before, I wanted to see it for the first time on my Switch, not during the video or some gameplay footage.
Right, you wanted to feel that.
Yeah, like I'll earn it myself.
Right.
And there was a freezing issue. Like, I had to shut down my Switch.
Oh, no.
And I did a quick Google search, and it's a thing. It's been causing some freezing issues. Huh. So that's a little alarming.
Sure.
And it doesn't like besmirch the DLC, but I don't know. It only happens when you do the fall of the final smash for Joker, which is odd.
Yeah.
But besides that, great character. Sets the bar really high for future DLC for mm-hmm. Smash.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the detail between the soundtrack selections. The memento stage, or little trains going by back and forth, with the color scheme changes, all the visual cues that are ripped from Persona 5.
The characters show up too. That's
pretty cool, yeah. Even like the soundtrack, which you think wouldn't be fitting for a Smash game, that kind of light jazz kind of sound, isn't really fitting for a Smash Brothers title, but it works here for some reason. But yeah, I didn't try any of the stage builder. I was busy playing other people's stages.
Yeah. I tried making a stage, and I'm really not that great at it, but I did make I was just trying to get used to the systems, but I wound up making a Death Star and
a big gray circle,
and then a TIE fighter next to it. But I don't know. I can't figure out how to like make things move. I just don't get it. Like,
it
does not work in that.
It's one of those things where I always go with the highest of ambitions. A quick side note: I did buy the Dreams Early Access beta this past weekend for PS4.
Okay.
And I want to try to make something. But a lot like Smash Bros, it's the same result. I just draw a triangle and I'm done.
What is that clicking? Is that you?
Is it clicking?
Yes.
No, that ain't me, bro.
No, that's you.
I don't hear any clicking.
There's clicking coming from you.
In what way?
I don't know, it just sounds like clicking. Sounds like a microphone, something hitting up against the microphone or something. The
microphone's in my face, but nothing is clicking against it.
Listener, if you hear the clicking, write to feedback@ndspodcast.com and say, Andy. Oh, there it is again. It sounds like somebody's cracking their knuckles.
No, that's not me. I don't even hear it.
What the fuck is going on? Is there something check loose on your microphone? Settings. Is there something loose on your microphone, Andy?
Is that doing anything?
I mean, I just heard it again.
Nope. I don't know what it could be.
All right. Be really quiet. Okay, now say something.
Quality content.
Yeah, there it is. There it is again. See, it's only when you talk. So hopefully it's just coming in my ears, I get, or like whatever. Maybe it's my headphones.
You can check word then recording.
I'm not getting that far in. But yeah, it definitely sounds.
It just started right now. Is that what you're telling
me? I only just started noticing it, so I don't know if it's been going around this whole time. But
it can't be that bad then, can it?
I mean, it started to really get annoyed. Like, because I thought it was just like feedback, or it sounds like rain. Like,
right.
Like rain.
We should move on now because this is a bonus episode ish, and we're talking about.
I think it's a great topic. Anyway, I mean, there are some really good levels out there right now. There was an article, I think Kotaku did it, right? It was the top 10. Cause they got to that real quick. Okay, here it is. The coolest and silliest. So there was one that was a DVD player screensaver. Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
Oh
no.
My God. It's so good. I'm going to link you this. It's just a black background. It looks like a TV, and then it's a pink DVD logo that just moves around. Really cool. But yeah. So somebody made, where is it? Somebody made a Temple of Time level, which was pretty cool. The Air Armada, obviously, there's about 1,000 of those. So if you look for that, if that was one of your levels, and people made the Avenger Tower. Somebody on Twitter posted it. It's Arthur Mezzo. That's his name, @ArthurMezzo. Made the Avengers Tower, which is pretty. Oh no! It was Ewok 007 on Smash World. If you're on the phone. Oh, that was the other update that came with this thing, was the cell phone app for Smash Brothers got a whole bunch of updates. So now you could look at levels and you look at your video creations right there on the app. They're essentially trying to circumvent, YouTube or something like that. So, but whatever. Neither here nor there. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. There's some pretty cool levels here. Where's the other one? I don't see it. Oh, there's one that somebody calls it like a mini game idea. It's just the spinning wheel spokes, and like all the players just start in like different of the pizza triangle slices, and it just goes around in circles, and you have to kind of like drop down and just beat the shit out of each other. It looks really, really funny.
That sounds sadistic as all hell.
Yeah.
Devious minds created that.
Incredibly devious minds. All right, let's move along here. Let's get into the rest of the Nintendo news report because there's a lot to talk about. Switch firmware got an update. Andy, why don't you take us into that article?
Version 8.0? We're that high up in the versions already for the Switch?
They clearly...
Yes. I don't understand.
Every little change gets a full number, I guess, from them.
So version 8.0 now adds the ability to transfer save data between systems.
Yep.
Which to me signals a new Switch in the works.
Yeah.
Because why else would they add this feature?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the best way to go about it is, hey, make a new Switch. We'll update here for you guys. You can move your save files over. Because I'm pretty sure most folks have it in
Holy
the cloud.
Holy hell, what is going on over there, dude?
What?
There is so much like clicking and static coming on. It sounds like somebody just dropped something on your end.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Is somebody else in the chat with us?
I really don't know.
All right.
Is there a phantom?
Is there a phantom? Is there a ghoul? Is there a Joker? Ghoul?
I'm going to rearrange my body.
Yeah, rearrange your body and like unplug and replug in your mic or something. This is the high quality content that we produce.
Everything looks the same to me on my end. This is fine.
Well, now you sound good.
This is all plugged in.
Now I don't hear the clicking. So whatever you adjusted.
I just leaned forward a little bit. I wasn't slouched. I was slouched before.
I don't know. Maybe.
I cared that little about this show.
Do you think maybe it's Jesus? Do you think it's because Jesus rose from the dead today?
Yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, and he's on our podcast now, having the microphone while we're recording.
He's trying to talk to us, Andy. Well, it's gone now. The clicking is gone. When it comes back, I'll rudely interrupt.
Yeah, because you figured him out. He left. He
figured it out.
Spooked him.
The joke's on you, Jesus.
Spooked him away. We're also getting 50 new avatar icons.
Woohoo!
For Splatoon 2 and Yoshi's Crafted World.
That's fun.
His update. Fantastic. But yeah, I think this goes into our next bit of news, which we can skip to that. And
yeah, absolutely. Flow the show. You know what I mean? Flow the show.
Show flow. It's all about that.
All about that flow.
So there was reports of Gizmodo, which I believe RIP. They're dead, right?
They're no longer a thing. Dualscreens.com is a thing. So
I think they're dead. There's a cheaper, smaller Switch coming this fall.
Yeah.
So tying to the bit about transferring save files to another console.
Yeah.
This kind of makes sense. This report seems all but confirmed. Yes, I want to ad block you, Gizmodo. That's why you're failing. That's why you're dead. We don't like you. Now we got some reports earlier this year about a potential two Switch coming out, a smaller, cheaper version, which I think we pegged as the 2DS of the Switch world.
Right.
Removing some features, shrinking it down a little bit, and making it cheaper overall for the youngins to play on the go. Without breaking the bank on this hybrid console handheld device. And then a potential 4K, dare I say 8K, handheld device with a smaller bezel, and it can play Blu-rays natively in 12K. That's the expectation for the Switch 2.0. But it seems like we're just getting a smaller version this fall, which I think... You know, I don't see the need for this quite yet. If it's not going to update the system dramatically, or even marginally, I don't know why we need a cheaper Switch on the market.
I think it's just to lower the barrier of entry for children.
It's low as it is.
It's to be the second. I mean, it's $300. Then you know, it doesn't.
That's not preventing sales, though.
No, but it can, because how they want multiple Switch consoles in a household. That's
right.
That's their goal.
Their vision is to have everyone has a Switch in the family.
Right.
So mom has one, dad has one, the dog has one.
Right.
Everyone's got one.
Exactly. So I think this to be like the secondary console for the kids or whatever could be. And say it's only $200 or even cheaper if it removes like the Joy-Con rumble functionality or whatever. I mean, because you could do that. You could still pair Joy-Con with it and then play those games if you really want to. I still think it has to be docked. You have to be able to dock this thing. That would be really stupid if it's handheld.
I think they got to work on the dock then, if anything. That thing's a whole neat retooling.
Well, I think
dock
it's already been updated.
It's such an afterthought to me.
They've already updated it with the second Switch, where they did that like minor revision to fix the left Joy-Con situation or whatever it was, or the sinking.
Mine's still fucked up on that. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's super annoying. I have to like basically go to controllers and like unsync them and then resync, and it lasts for about maybe an hour before it gets fucked up again.
Did you try it with new Joy-Con?
Yeah. Oh no, not new Joy-Con. No, my OG Joy-Con.
I got
three in the box, and I bought the red and blue. Soon after,
there's a image which is probably not real but it's a, it looks like the shell of what they're calling the Switch Mini. But honestly, if you look at the size of that thumb, this thing looks no bigger than my cell phone. It looks really small.
That looks like a Game Boy Micro.
It looks like an iPhone. Like, it looks like it's the size of an iPhone. I don't know how they would, like, I mean, I guess they can if they really want to.
Yeah, if that's the case, there's no dock for that. I think the goal of a Switch Mini is to have it only be a handheld device.
I don't see how a dock would be prohibitive. Like, it doesn't have to come with it, but it should still be compatible with one. Like, if you want to, hey, let's play on the TV, pair your Pro controllers and just, you know what I mean? Or maybe just come with a plug, like an HDMI. No, it would have to have some sort of guts, because it up,
right,
it,
you to know, feed in the right. to feed in the video into right. a TV.
Right.
But again, if the point of this is to have multiple Switch in a single household, you don't need four docks for this. So I can imagine this being sold as a standalone device with no dock.
But it should be dock compatible. Is what I'm saying.
This small, how's it going to be compatible?
Why wouldn't it be? Just put it in. What does it matter?
I don't know. It'll get lost in the. It'll get lost in the dock.
Oh please! Slit. Please.
You have to turn over the dock to get it out.
No, just slide it out. It goes in there. It's fine.
Yeah, you get it in, but you can't get it out. You like a pair of pliers.
No, because it's open on the sides. You could just slide your hands on either side and slide it up. Come on, you're overthinking this.
Really, really unintuitive and annoying.
What is intuitive?
That's a design flaw. If I ever saw one.
You know what is intuitive?
What?
We've learned how Zelda VR works.
That is not. That's the farce. So I wouldn't call that intuitive.
Oh, it's super intuitive.
You know, okay, so we got some news, if you want to call it that, about how Zelda will work in the totally awesome and superior VR that only Nintendo Cardboard can offer.
It's true.
You know, I was thinking about this last week when we first discussed VR in conjunction with Labo and working with games like Odyssey and Breath of the Wild.
God damn, that clicking is back again, Andy.
I haven't moved. I'm totally still.
Something's going on over there.
You're going to feel really dumb when there's no clicking on your end in the final recording of this podcast.
Oh, I'll find out. And when I do, there's no Labo VR that could save you.
You let me know. So I thought about it, and you know, if we didn't already have things like the Oculus, and even more so PSVR, which I've been loving to death lately. I've been PSVR heavy these last couple of weeks, and I'm loving it. I don't see how the Labo VR component is gonna sell me on VR on the Switch. It's a nice idea. It's a cheap way to get a VR experience on Nintendo. But the notion of strapping my Switch to my face with cardboard just to enjoy Zelda with what looks like this, like a camera mode, essentially, to look at stuff, is even first person. It's just a third person view. This would make sense for a Mario Kart. If it was a first-person Mario Kart experience and you're VR in that mode, I'd be on board for that.
But this vomit all over the place.
It adds nothing new to the experience other than you can move your head around to look at the environment or at a piece of gear. And that's the PR spiel.
Right.
Like, ooh, look at an enemy or a boss or a piece of gear really close. Like, okay. And? Where's the hook? Why do I want to have this?
Witness the emptiness that is Breath of the Wild.
You're right. Look at all these 3D. Vistas, these glorious vistas we got. We got a lot of green over here. We got some volcanoes.
Look at these enemies over here. Oh, you killed the enemies.
Look at this lightning
storm. Don't worry,
storm.
They'll be back soon and they'll be a different color.
If there was some sort of like free-roaming exploration mode in Breath of the Wild where it was enemy-free and you would just like You're playing as a bird in the universe. Like it's flying around.
Fly away.
What's the bird race in these games? I forget. I don't know. Feather? I think they were new. Because well, they're not Zoras of the fish. The Gorons are the rock people.
Oh, that's right. Are you talking about Zelda?
Wait a minute.
What if...
Bird is a word.
They built a set of challenges...
Based around VR?
Yes.
Link's crossbow training in VR. That's the only thing that would work.
Well, no. You can do
Link's Gatherer.
Shrines. Like specific shrines that would work in VR that you won't vomit or whatever.
They would have to be like perspective ones where you have to look at it from a certain angle to line up something like an image.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. But again, that's what you're selling me on? That's why I'm buying this thing.
That's what I'm selling you on, bro.
That's not a great sales pitch, bro.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I think the Odyssey one offered a bit more with their VR.
Well, they had to because the last thing they offered us was fucking balloons.
Fucking balloons. I don't know. It just feels like if this was 4 or 5 years ago when we were still in the infancy of VR, then maybe I see the appeal. But when you have folks like Sony who are talking about PSVR support in the PS5, and they're really pushing that medium forward, like they are owning the shit out of the VR space.
They are
right now in gaming. This feels like it's just an afterthought, which it is to some extent.
Sure.
And she's trying to jump on that bandwagon. Like, hey, we got this too, guys. You don't even need it. It just seems overtly gimmicky. Much like the Labo itself.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And those are my thoughts.
Well.
And my thoughts alone.
Your thoughts are concise.
Are equally garbage. Like the
All right, we got a couple more stories to get through here. Stealth dropped. Just came out of nowhere. It was like, hey, guess what? This game's coming back. But it's not just for Switch. It's also coming to other consoles. But it came across my desk as a Switch thing. Ubisoft is remastering and re-releasing their GameCube shooter, 13.
Oh my god. One of my favorites.
Cel-shaded.
One of my favorites. Now, here's my question. Is this was a great game? Like this game, I played it for hours back in the day with my brother and my friends. Because it was a really fun, competitive FPS game, which had amazing graphics back in its heyday. But I'm wondering, did they specify if it's a ground up remake in the sense of, say, Shadow of the Colossus?
No, it doesn't look like that. It looks
or
like
is this something or an up-res of the existing game, which I don't know, when you up-res a cel-shaded game, it can't get much better looking.
Right.
It look a little shinier, but you can't add details to, let's say, a intense 3D model. Like when you look at Xbox and their BC enhanced titles, like there's a clearly there's an effort made to make these look better. Like I was playing one of my friends was showing me Ninja Gaiden 2 on Xbox One and it looked incredible.
Yeah.
I don't see how that would translate for a game that looks like 13 does. So I think it would need a ground-up remake. I mean, it does say remake, so to me that signals, okay, this is not... If I hear the words remaster, that's when I feel like, oh, this looks prettier.
Yeah, but I don't think remake was the word that they used. I think remake is the word that Nintendo everything
just
used.
Latched onto?
Yeah.
Okay. In any case, if it's a remaster, we'll get the lovely voice of David Duchovny.
That is true.
Because he was in that game and he was amazing in it. If not, it's a remake, totally brand new from the ground up experience. I hope it gets back on board, or they can just reuse the old audio, or just remix it. But then rights get in there; it's a whole weird, sketchy area. In any case, when I first saw this dude, I thought it was Final Fantasy 13 for a minute.
Yeah.
I kept seeing the word. I was like, 13 remake FPS. What? I was like, oh, it's that game. Like, what? First of all, I wanted to ask the question is, why was this game selected? Because this game is beyond. It was like, you know, there's cult classics and sleeper hits from back in the day. But I felt like this game only maybe like two or three of my friends ever knew about it. It was lost to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's back, but who was in the meeting that was like, hey guys, remember this game we did like 5,000 years ago? Let's bring it back. And I'm not sure who did it, but thank you, sir.
On the PlayStation blog, the title of it is it returns in a new remake. But I mean, I guess
I don't know. It's all very vague to me. But it's coming out this year though, correct? Fall or winter?
So here's from the blog. The idea of this remake idea came naturally as we felt it was the unique kind of story-driven FPS experience was missing in today's gaming landscape. Our goal is to bring 13's compelling story to a new generation of players with the best possible graphics and animation. The result will be nothing short of spectacular as we promise to celebrate the amazing work done on the original game. Stay tuned for more details. And then they show an image of progression from low poly to high poly. In engine.
Does it look dramatically different?
I mean, sure. Yeah, I guess.
I also don't buy that bit about story-driven FPS games. This isn't like it was back in the days of Half-Life, when that was a major thing in the genre, to have a story be the first part of the experience.
No, they're saying now.
Right, but they're missing now. We have them now. But look at Wolfenstein. That's all story.
Yeah.
Look at Metro. That's all story. So much for where you get off with that, Ubisoft. You have them today. All right? You ain't got that special, is what I'm trying to say.
Ubisoft doesn't have them.
Well, yeah, they need them, sure. That's fine. If it's new to them and their library, yeah, I'll allow that. But in the overall scheme of things, we've had plenty of story-driven FPS games. Dying Light comes to mind too. There's so many that you can think of.
Lying Dight. All right, we
Lying
got
Dight.
Lying Dight.
Thinking about things that are dead in the light. Castlevania.
Yeah. Woo!
Woo. Collection. Oh my god. They outdid themselves.
They came with the goods, Andy.
But I feel a little let down.
I swear to fucking god, if you say Symphony of the Night is missing on this thing,
no,
god damn it.
I wasn't going to say that because you already got it.
Like 8 times.
Only on PS4, by the by. Exclusive. So the list of games were announced, which includes Castlevania, yep. Castlevania 2, yep. Diamond's Quest, yep. Castlevania 3, Dragon's Curse, one of the best, if not the best, game in the series of all time. Super Castlevania 4. We got Bloodlines, which is your personal favorite, I think, of the franchise.
I do enjoy it quite a bit.
Sega Genesis. We also got the Game Boy games, Castlevania the Adventure, and the sequel, Belmont's Revenge, which that is my second favorite in the franchise.
Uh-huh.
Great game. And we got the odd one out is Kid Dracula.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Which is, I'm like, this is what made me think, why, guys? And I love you for being so cheeky. Because they didn't have to do that, but it's there.
Oh, it's there.
And it brings all the smiles to my face. So 2 points here. The first point is great list. It has 8 games, which is a lot better than that shitty arcade collection they put out recently.
Yeah.
Which is a trash fire if I ever saw one.
Fire of garbage.
Like, I would piss out to put it out, but it's a waste of good urine. But this is a much more comprehensive list of games. But I think I mentioned this in our group chat, in our Facebook group. That it feels like a Castlevania starter kit.
Yeah.
That they are saving some of the better titles for a potential part two of this collection if this sells well. Which
this
would
is,
include.
This is like the OG series. Like, this is
it
like
is, yeah,
the
it
first
is.
Wave of Castlevania.
Right. But again, it's to call it a collection, you're missing a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, it's an anniversary collection.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, all these games probably came out within like 2 years of each other.
If I probably less than that. I think a lot were fast-tracked. I think 1, 2, and 3 were equipment span, like maybe 2 years of one another. Which is, it's funny, Haunted Castle, which is the original arcade game of Castlevania, is in that arcade collection. It was the only game worth playing on that entire collection. But I feel if this sells well, we're going to get a part two of this, which is going to have to include the Game Boy Advance games, which were three of them. There were also three DS games.
Yeah.
Which I can see working well on the Switch. On a PS4, an Xbox, and a PC, touch controls. I think the DS ones, you got to draw symbols for some of the moves. So there's that, which you could use your, I guess, your right analog
stick. That was that. Dawn of Sorrow, Curse of Darkness, Portrait of Ruin. Those are those three.
Portrait of Ruin. Well, first it was Dawn of Sorrow, which is the Aria of Sorrow sequel on DS. Portrait of Ruin, then Order of Ecclesia was the third one on DS, and the last one. Then there's also the two, or the one, I would say, Black Sheep on the N64, Legacy of Darkness, which, again, is a horrible game, but it's the guiltiest of all guilty pleasures, if I ever had one. I still enjoy playing it to this day. And there's still the two PS2 games, Curse of Darkness and Lament of Innocence. There's still plenty of Castlevania out there.
Right. Well, it looks like the real outlier on this collection is Bloodlines, because all the other games came out between 86 and 89. Not, well, 91, because if you count Castlevania Belmont's Revenge.
Right, and these were all Nintendo games, aside from Bloodlines.
Right. So it looks like we're getting... Of the Castlevania games, we're getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the first 7 games. Because we're not getting Haunted Castle or Vampire Killer.
Right, which, you know, it's fine. Vampire Killer is just the MSX version of what was Castlevania.
Right, over here. So if you really think about it, we're getting the first 5 Castlevania games ever made. Then it's skipping Super Castlevania and skipping Rondo of Blood and then going to Bloodlines.
Now, here's my question. I wonder if they're going to have any additions to these games. Like, if you look at the Mega Man collection, for example, those games added a museum, which had artwork, music, all that stuff, encyclopedia, more or less, of the Mega Man series. Plus, they added that rewind feature on the Switch version later on. That was kind of neat. I'm wondering if they'll have the... Because I know that Belmont's Revenge got a Super Game Boy Color palette thing going on. So if that's an option, when that could do, those have the gray, the green and white Game Boy puke color. So that'd be kind of cool to get some color in those old games. But yeah, curious. But it's a good first step. I have faith in this collection. It's 8 great games, and awesome for our Wednesday days on the stream.
Uh-huh.
And
that's all you, buddy. I'm so comically bad at.
Oh no, I am playing Dracula's Curse. Like you have no idea. I'm playing that first. That was the first game my mom bought me as a kid. One of two.
Heard that.
Another being RoboCop.
It's time, Andy.
Oh, God.
It's time to get in it. We got it. We got to get in it to win it, my friend. We got to move the show along. It's getting late. Still need to edit this thing. Oh, boy, Andy. We got ourselves a keen eye for quality in the hype zone this week.
We have erected an amazing news story the hype zone kids.
We did. Andy, shepherd us into the hype zone.
This is My heart is throbbing with excitement.
Throbbing.
Over this story. Which I want to say, and?
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal? So yeah. There was a stage builder with our Smash Bros. Update, and apparently it didn't take long for folks to make a bunch of dong stages.
Big old dong.
With wangs and ding-dongs and penises and of the sort. And I see nothing wrong with this.
There was straight up a porn one. That was cool.
Now, we always hear about Sony copying Nintendo.
Yeah.
Left and right.
This is true. We always see it.
There was some recent news about Sony adopting some strict censorship policies in their games as of late.
Yep.
And it seems like Nintendo is not copying them because they're taking down some of these dick stages.
Yeah.
Which Leave is them in. Dick Nintendo.
Leave them in.
Listen, dude, I was playing the other day. It was a Pepe the Frog with a dick going in and out of his mouth.
Yeah, perfect.
As a background stage.
Perfect.
And that should be...
the gold standard.
Kids should be able to appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like my kids to appreciate that one day.
It should be the gold standard, Andy, is what we're... essentially, we're trying to say.
Listen, when we first had... When the DS first came out, and there was the little chat feature, you could draw little simple pics with the stylus. What would you do?
Send it to people that were nearby.
You just draw a bunch of dicks.
You know, there are hieroglyphics of dicks.
I'm sure there are.
People have been drawing dicks forever.
There's Dick Mountain, there's Dick Island.
Yeah, there's a whole island devoted to dicks.
There's just so many dicks.
There's a sporting goods store.
And to think that Nintendo wants this stuff yanked. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I feel like as a species, we have come to this point.
Steven, no matter, listen, I think this is the best way to prepare our youth and the world as a whole.
Right.
For what awaits them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because in every facet of life, you will find a big, juicy, throbbing cock.
It's true. Everywhere you turn. That's the rub, guys.
Yeah.
That's the rub. Any way you shake it, that's the rub.
But you know what? At the very least, your efforts to draw dicks for our enjoyment will not be in vain.
No, they will not be. They will not be a giant, veiny penis. And it turns out, they're going to live in infamy because people are capturing them and putting them on Twitter. So congratulations. Your penis is on the internet. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the Hype Zone.
There's a level called the Erectus.
Erectus Maximus. That's perfect.
These are the most atrociously shaped looking cock I've seen in my entire life. And I've seen a lot of dicks, Steven. Let me tell you.
I know, you are.
I've seen a lot of penises.
A regular connoisseur. You could tell the age.
Of the wang.
You know what region of the world. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. We are not doing the Retro Game Club because we weren't prepared to do this show, and I certainly wasn't prepared to pick a game to stump Andy. But for part two of this episode, Andy has something cooked up for our guest. So please be excited. And Andy,
Announce again?
Oh, of course you can. Of course you can. So later tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we will have, drum roll please,
we're having Caitlin Rodriguez Ogren, better known as the original, the OG. Kitana/Melina on the show. Big excited with that. She, as of this recording, hit yes to our invite to record.
God bless America. So, it's a beautiful country.
About that.
So please be excited. That is going to be part two of this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Remember, Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast is part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horse, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. So head over to provengamer.com and support those shows if you like what you hear. You can, sub to them and rate and view. Speaking of, please, if you're listening to this, us on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. We need to get those reviews up and away. So please do it. It helps us get in front of more eyes. It is a proven, genuine fact. I've seen other podcasts do it. It works. So please head over there and give us a review and rate us. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/NDS Podcast. You can follow our contributors on social media at one of our great artists, Andrew Douglas. He's at Angimoto, at A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. Dan Colonna, who designed our Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, is at Dan O'Mac. And Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions. I don't believe he's on Twitter, but thank you for our song, 16-Bit Attack. That's essentially it. Andy, is there anything you want to say before we go and we'll be back in your ear holes in like 12 hours or so?
No, we're going to have Mortal Kombat 11 soon. That's all I care about right now.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
I cannot wait to spank.
Well, you are. I still haven't. I'm not. I don't.
I spank it so hard.
That's it, folks. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 95 for the week of April 22nd. If you want to listen to the this episode's pre-show and post-show shenanigans, head over to patreon.com/NDS Podcast, where you can get an extra hour of content each and every week, which is the pre and post-show. And that is it. That is going to do it for us. And as always, please be excellent to each other.